Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
What a fun time of year. What a powerful time of year. And I'm telling you again, on the sign out front, I just think about all that the scripture says about the name of the Lord. It's a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. It's the name above every name. The name of Jesus. And the angel said, you shall call his name Jesus. He'll save people from their sins. And Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, now how powerful is that? If we ask anything in his name, in the name of Jesus. And you know, sometimes just, you know, you're just in the presence of the Lord, or you just need to get in the presence of the Lord, and you just find yourself saying Jesus. And there's just power in his name. And that's why tonight I want to talk to you just a little bit about names. And David alluded to that in our study on Mark on Sunday mornings. And just the fact that God not only calls people, but then God has the creative power and capacity to change people to match the calling on their life. Not just the calling, but even the names. That in the Oriental mindset, a name was much more important, very possibly, than it would be in our Western culture. That in the Oriental mindset, the name was a way not just to distinguish one person from another, but it was an expression of the kind of person that person was or what they would be. We get a sense of that. I mean, at Christmas, his name shall be called Emmanuel. For why? For God with us. He will be called Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God does things as a result of his name. His name identifies who he is and what he does. And God, at the same time, when he reaches out to us as believers, he gives us names. We're overcomers. He calls us overcomers. It speaks of what his power can do in us, through us, to position us to walk in victory. I don't know about you, but that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. When a person gets saved, God gives them a new name. When you get to heaven, guess what? God has a name just for you. You say, well, I like my name. You'll like his better. You'll say, man, why didn't we all think of that ahead of time? Look at this in Revelation chapter 2. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. He's got a new name. He's got a name that's going to reflect not only who you are, but what you will do in eternity. Isn't that exciting? I can't wait to find out what my name is going to be in heaven. A new name. In the Bible, you watch this, and what God does is God comes into time and space and interacts with people and takes people from where they are and names them many times as an indicator of what they'll become. Now listen, the world does that to people as well, unfortunately. The world names people, and a lot of times it's not for the good. Or some of you tonight, and you got a name. You had a nickname hung on you, or you had a forecast of your future put on you by somebody telling you you're clumsy, you're not smart, you're not this, you're not that, or you're ugly, or you'll never amount to anything, or you're lazy, and you can still remember when that was said. And in some cases, you have allowed somebody else's naming of you and their opinion of you to direct your future. This is what makes God's work in us. Such great news is God gives us a new name that predicts and determines our new future through him. I mean, you see this in Abraham. I mean, watch this in Genesis 17, verses 1 through 5. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I'm God Almighty, walk before me, be blameless, that I might make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Abram exalts God. That it means exalted father, but God says, listen, I'm going to call you Abraham. I'm going to call you the father of a multitude. And at the time God says it, and this is what trips a lot of people up, God speaks to their heart, but because they can't see it with their eyes or understand it with their mind, or they have a reason why that couldn't be true, they don't believe it. And they miss out on what God wants to do and God would do if they would simply do what they can do in saying, God, I don't understand it. I can't see it. I can't explain it. I don't know how that could be, but none of that matters. You said it. I accept it, and I believe you. Even if our faith in that moment seems weak as we're saying it. I mean, you see God do it in Sarah. In Genesis chapter 17, God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her. She will become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Sarai means bitter. Sarah means beautiful mother of princes. And God is saying, listen, I'm going to make her the mother of princes. I mean, this is powerful. She's 90 years old. She's not even sure she can believe those things. But Abraham believes God, and his faith is enough not only to bring about God's purpose in his life, but also to encourage Sarah to eventually come to a place of faith where she too receives God's promise in her life. Jacob had a name change. He deceived his older brother, Esau. Jacob means supplanter or deceiver. But God had bigger plans for Jacob than Jacob could finagle on his own. You know, that gets a lot of people in trouble. They're trying to make God's will happen. They're trying to finagle work all the angles to try to get where they think God wants them to go, which is what Jacob did. And God comes to him and says, listen, I don't want that for your life. That's not who I want you to be, and it's not what I have for you. No longer are you going to be called Jacob. You're going to be called Israel. Remember that in Genesis chapter 32? But Jacob said, I'll not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, Prince of God. I'm going to change your name because I have a different destiny for you. God looks at Peter and Jesus. Here's, you know, how's God going to respond to us? We get an example of that and how Jesus responds to Peter. And when he meets him in John chapter 1, look at this. He brought him to Jesus. This is Andrew brings Peter to Jesus. Jesus looked at Peter and said to him, so you are Simon, son of John. Now, he's always been called Simon. His name hasn't been Peter. His name is Simon Son of John, Simon Johnson. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter, or means rock. So he went from Simon Johnson to Rocky Johnson. I mean, and Jesus is saying, Peter, I'm going to build on you. The apostles are the foundation of the church. So Jesus did. Peter, who was impetuous, Peter, who was impulsive, Peter, who seemed to be here one moment and over there one moment, Peter, the one who, we see an example of that, he denies Christ, he says one minute, hey, even if everybody else, I can't vouch for these other guys, but you know me, I'm with you, and later that night, he's gone. But Jesus calls him Peter and then creates in him the solid rock-like nature that makes him a leader who the first part of the book of Acts is all about. Listen, here's the encouraging thing. God sees us. God knows where we're at now. But God sees what we can become by his power. And he calls people to work his creative miracle in their life. I mean, he has the creative capacity not only to call, but to create that reality. We have such a, when I was watching the online campus on Sunday morning, and I highly recommend it, not as a substitute for church. So if you're away, you're sick, watch the online campus. Otherwise, get your hiney in here, okay? So be here at church. But look at this in Genesis chapter 1. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning. The first day. He calls it, and out of his calling is a creation of it. Which is a powerful thing. Here's Jesus, Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. He appointed 12 of them, and he called them his apostles. He calls them that, and he creates in 12 ordinary men the capacity to be apostles. Amazing. Think about this, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That God's calling, you as a believer, as a child of God, you've been called to a purpose greater than yourself and greater than just waiting around for heaven. You've been called for God to use you and work through you and work in you and to do mighty things in you. And he has the power to work that by his creative energy that works in you through the Holy Spirit. He can bring it about. He calls, and then he works out that calling. Musicians, you can come. And what trips a lot of people up is God has a plan for people's life. God speaks to people's hearts. There's some here tonight. God has spoken to you. But because you can't see it, because you can't understand it, because it doesn't make sense, you sit there and debate in your mind if it's even God. And then you're like, I just can't see how it would happen. And you throw your hands up and you don't do the one thing that you have to do for God to work in you, and that's believe. Even if you're in a place where you're like the man in Mark 9 who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I mean, you at least got to get there where you say, you know what, God, I can't see it, I can't understand it, but if you say it, then I accept that as true. Because God is able, out of nothing, to create in our life either the opportunity or the strength or the ability or the provision that we might need. He doesn't need what we can see to accomplish what he wants to do. Think about this. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, this verse has encouraged me so many times. It's talking about Abraham, and it's talking about how Abraham was justified by faith, and it's using the example of what we read a few moments ago in Genesis chapter 17, where God tells Abraham, hey, you're 99, but you're gonna be the father of many nations, and that doesn't make sense. There's nothing about he's past that point in life. Sarah's past the time of childbearing. They've not had any children. And God says, this is what's going to happen. And watch what happens. As it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Things that are not, things that don't exist, God calls into being and by his creative power brings about what would be impossible. I can never read that scripture without thinking about the reality of that scripture taking place approximately right here. 1997, the fall. James River doesn't own this ground, has only put an option to purchase on this ground, has gotten a bid on a building. The land's going to cost a couple million. The building's going to cost millions of dollars. When it's all done, it's going to cost $16.5 million, which at that time was a whole lot more money than it is today, and it's a lot today. At the time, the church has less than 5% of that amount of money. We had a fundraising company look at our records, and they originally said what they thought they could do, and they met with me, and they said, we're sorry, but you guys don't have the resource to do that. So, you know, we're needing to, it's that time where you're having to either go or not go, do it or not do it. And I'm to be honest with you, overwhelmed. I can't even see how it could even happen. And that's, you know, you've been talking about building, you're getting ready to build, but you're like, this is not, I mean, there's no way this is going to happen. And having God speak to my heart, Debbie and I went out of town on a weekend. We were speaking in another place. And that night, I spoke in the morning. That night, we sat in the service, and God spoke to me. And really, I came forward into the altar just saying, God, I'm at a loss what to do, and I'm very discouraged. The next morning, we're sitting on the plane getting ready to fly home. And in that moment, the Lord speaks to me and says, I want you to go out on the land. Just in my heart, I just knew. And I want you to go where the altar's going to be. And I want you to praise me for the provision I'm going to bring to build the church. That's very specific. So, I mean, I'm on the plane. It's getting ready to take off. I can still remember sitting there and just, you know, sitting there just praying and just feeling the Lord speak that to my heart. The next morning, on Tuesday morning, I come out here. It's in the fall. Cars going by on 65 Highway. It's a big cow pasture out here. And I pull my Ford Ranger out to where I knew the altar area would be. I get out of the truck, and I'm thinking, man, I wonder what people on the highway are going to think. What's he doing out there with his hands in the air? And then I got a hold of myself and I said, I don't really care, because I'd rather honor God and his word than be concerned about what people think. That trips a lot of people up. You're too worried about what the person next to you or what the people passing by are going to say. And I remember just turning and facing east, really in some sense turning my back to the world, and saying, God, lifting my hands, saying, God, I don't see any way possible for this to happen. But you're the God who calls things that are not as though they are. And if you say this will happen, it will happen. And I believe you. And I'm just going to praise you for about 20 minutes out here. Just had my hands in the air, just praising God and saying, God, I don't understand it. I can't explain it. It doesn't make sense. I don't know how it would ever happen. I don't know how you're going to do it. But God, you have put in my heart that you will. And I believe you. And I'm standing on the place where I believe thousands of people will come to know you and where you will meet your people. And God, meet me here. I got in my truck and I drove off and I knew something was different. Something was different. And all I'm saying to you tonight is God has that ability. He speaks and he does it. He calls and then he creates. He names and then he helps you fulfill what that name means. And there's some of you here tonight and you're in a situation where you can't see it, you can't understand it. Maybe it's a calling that God has placed on your life or a direction. You're like, man, I don't know. Maybe you're in a situation where you're saying, I don't know how God would provide. His word says he will, and I can't see it. I can't understand it. I can't explain. I don't know what your situation is. Some of you are saying, you know what? I just don't think I can do. I just don't think I am. You're not. He is. So believe him, okay? But I believe God wants to meet people tonight. And all day long, I've been excited about opening the altar and letting you stand where I stood and meet God like I did and drive off this property like I drove off this property with nothing physically different, but in your heart, everything different. And in a matter of 3.5 years, this was here. Amazing. I still look back on it and I'm like, I can't understand how he did. I can't say I can't believe it, but I just, man, it's unbelievable. I sit out front, take that picture, and I'm like, God, that's just craziness. But he's the God that takes things that are not and calls them as though they are in response to the faith of people who call on him. I don't know what you need. I would just say, come into the altar. He wants to meet you tonight. Let's do that, and then we'll sing after we worship the Lord.